You're listening to the Next Wave Radio Network.
No, you know what? I thought last night went really well, the Down Periscope one.
I liked it.
If we could just, the mutual masturbatory part of the podcast right now.
Hell yeah. Where we,
you know what? You did really well.
You know what, Joe? I'm so in love with you right now.
Oh my
like,
God.
Like, we just had, what we had was special.
Didn't we almost have it all? It is the Editing Bay on the Next Wave Radio Network. My name's Joe.
And I'm Joel.
And we're going to talk about some more movie stuff.
Yay.
So this one was my pick. Joel and I kind of decided, all right, I'll pick one movie, you pick another, and we'll go ahead and we'll record these back to back. Joel's was the naval epic Down Periscope, starring Frasier. And
not even going to dignify it by using his actual name.
No, not at all, because he didn't play a character.
No, he played.
He played Frasier on a boat.
Or maybe he did play himself, but he is Frasier.
Maybe
he never played Frasier.
It's getting so meta.
He's always played Kelsey Grammer. You
know
about that?
The chick who played Lilith, I always thought was really attractive. She was in
The Faculty. Newworth.
She was in that movie, The Faculty.
She
was. Wow. Okay, so
derailed the episode right off
the bat. We'll talk about the movie that we watched. okay, so I originally described it as, hey, this could be looked at as the Karate Kid without any smiles. Which I think is a fitting description.
Yeah, yeah.
But after watching, I don't know if I want to call it a film. After watching it and really kind of dissecting it, it's not.
No.
This is Mean Girls, but if Rachel McAdams and Lindsay Lohan were throwing punches instead of jabs.
Ooh, like interesting
analogy. Little barbs and stuff. This is totally Mean Girls.
I like that. No, you're right.
Because it ends like Mean Girls.
It wanted to be. It really did, didn't it?
Uh-huh. It totally does.
But the first 5 minutes... Should we say the name of the movie? We haven't said the name of the...
Should we? I mean, does it matter what the name of this
we
movie
should
is?
Talk about... We should go an episode where we talk about a movie and then just leave it up.
And make
guess
the
what we watched.
Guess what we just saw. That's not a bad idea.
Mike Daly will get it.
But we're not going to do that this time.
No.
We saw the movie Never Back Down.
Yeah.
Starring Amber Heard in, I think, her first starring role.
Was that true?
I think it was. I didn't do any homework on it, so I have no idea.
I did a little bit, but I didn't... Pick up that nugget.
And Jaimon Hansu.
Yes.
Who you might remember from films like Amistad.
Give Us Free.
And Gladiator.
Give Us Free. I didn't know man could build such thing.
I will see you again someday.
There you go.
But not today.
There you go. You do it better. I knew you had it in you.
It sounds like Connery. I'll see you again someday. Never Back Down. It's a story about a young man named Jake Tyler. And when we
the whitest name ever, by the way.
It totally is the whitest name. And so when we open up, he's playing a football game.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets into a scuffle with somebody from the other team and just starts like fucking throwing down. Like almost the Last Boy Scout style.
Pulls the guy's helmet off and then beats him with it.
And then like
Full Metal Jacket style.
And the thing is, we don't cut. The next scene isn't him in like behind bars or in handcuffs. It's him in the locker room and the guy's like, good game, Jake. I'll see you next week. What?
There's a lot of shit in this movie that we're like, charges should have been pressed.
Yes.
Throughout. Like, there would have been jail time.
Like the yellow Hummer.
Yes. It's like, yeah. he becomes famous. Well, we'll get to that scene later. But he becomes famous for basically
for
beating
ass at public intersections.
Randomly. Well, it's Florida.
It is Florida. And I think that's very, it's very telling about where this story, I think that was actually a deliberate choice that this story takes place in Florida because these people are fucking psychotic.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was shot on location in Orlando and probably because it's the only place they could have shot this stuff without breaking any real laws or seeming out of place.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, look, some people just are beating Mexicans in a Hummer
so
randomly at a stop sign.
Wait, you are giving it away.
Oh, sorry.
So Jake, we find out Jake is from like kind of a broken family. His father passed away.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a little brother that he helps take care of and a single mom.
And some serious daddy issues.
Total serious daddy issues. They end up, you know, they're packing shit up to move away. And he comes across this box of like all of his father's things.
Yeah, what's it
and
called?
He's like, oh, wow, I thought we got rid of this stuff. And he goes in, he like finds a shirt, and then we get like an obligatory flashback.
Yeah.
And then he like puts everything back in the box, tapes it up, and marks it useless junk.
Yeah, that's pretty sad.
You would just... Why even waste the marker by writing useless junk
I would think,
and just toss it?
Yeah, or just keep the box unmarked. You'll know what it is.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, taking a Sharpie and writing porn on your VHS tapes. It's like, the porn is going to be the VHS tape that isn't labeled, okay? Can we just agree on that?
I think at this point in 2014, the porn is going to be the VHS tape.
That's a good point.
That's pretty much it.
That's a good point. God, did you ever, like, go in, I'm going to take us on a tangent here for a second. Have you ever rented porn, like, from a store?
No.
You never walked into the store to that shame?
No.
Go behind the curtain?
No.
Oof, just me then.
No. I've never rented porn. I think the internet came in at just the right time.
Man,
and also,
you're lucky.
I'm not really the biggest porn guy.
Yeah.
To be completely honest with you, man to man.
All right.
Not the biggest porn dude.
Actually more man than I am, I think, by saying that. By not needing it.
I don't think that's true.
You get the real thing, right?
Oh, my God.
Okay, let's get back on this movie.
Wow.
A tangent over.
Yeah, thank you. So
Hold on. I want to talk about... Okay, so this box...
I want to talk about this box of porn again.
No. But you're right. The first 5 minutes of this movie, they could have taken the script from Karate Kid and be reshooting it, because it's like... That's how Karate Kid starts off, right? They're moving.
Yeah.
They're driving cross country. They're boxing off stuff.
Uh-huh.
It's him and his single mom. They threw the brother in. I also, like you mentioned, those flashbacks. It happens two or three times in this movie. They're almost done like in Unbreakable.
Uh-huh.
You know, when Bruce Willis like touches somebody and he gets these quick flashes.
Yes, or even...
it's like, is this guy clairvoyant or
yeah.
Is he having a... Is this exposition? Sorry, Joe.
What was the Stephen King story that like Anthony Michael Hall was in the TV show of?
And
Christopher Walken was in the movie.
What is that called?
It's not The Dark Half.
No, but it's one word, right?
I can't remember.
We'll figure that out.
Somebody will put that. No. I like it because somebody will put it in the comments. Even though we'll Google it and find out later, somebody will be like, "By the way, the thing that you couldn't remember was this."
That's always fun.
They end up moving to Orlando,
mm-hmm.
and I guess what did she do? She sent her sons along ahead of time because they like got to the house before she did.
It's unclear. She pops. We're talking about the mother. Pops in and out of the movie the house. It's almost like they're.
She just kind of shows up at some point.
Raising themselves like maybe she's a flight attendant.
No, she's like a waitress.
Yeah,
isn't
that's
she?
Right. Yeah. Because she cleans up messes. We find that out later.
after she breaks plates.
Breaking plates.
So Jake starts going to this new school.
Mm-hmm.
Populated by a bunch of 30-year-olds.
Oh, my God. And just, like, thuggish. Like, Florida.
It's the worst school ever.
You guys in Florida might like this movie and think it represents you. And it does, but not in a good way.
No.
This is not a favorable viewing of your state or high schools.
No. So, Jake's going to the school.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of, you know, doing his new kid at the school kind of thing where, you know, he ends up meeting Amber Heard. And he's like, hey, what's going on? And there's that forced chemistry shit.
Holy shit.
Where she's like, you know, what are you doing? Why don't you come to this party tonight? And meanwhile, this really geeky dude with like a video camera.
Yeah.
Like that's his character. Max's character is I'm the guy with the video camera.
Yeah.
I'm two steps away from being Wes Bentley in fucking American Beauty.
Yes, very much so.
So he ends up like, oh man, I recognize this guy. I got his name. And I guess he like Googles him and finds out like, oh, he's got this like past. He used to be, he fought people in this high school football game.
Yeah. Because we're first introduced to this character, Max, who ends up kind of becoming the best friend. You know, he's the
which is kind of a weird turn, don't you think?
It's a little bit.
Like it feels like Max set him up.
Well, oh, I see what you mean. Like he could have been
in on it. They got to the party.
I did think that too. And maybe he was in on it, but Amber Heard kind of got the brunt of that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but no, you're right. We are first introduced to Max. He's getting his ass beat by a bunch of guys, just like in the locker room or something.
No, it's like under the bleachers. Jake comes across him. There's like a fight going on. He starts to break it up, but it's Max and who's the other guy's name? Ryan.
Yeah.
The Brad Pitt of this movie going at it. And Max is like, no, wait, I got this. And it turns out it's like a sort of high school fight club sort of thing.
So we find out, all right, so that's what's going on at this school. These kids for kicks, they fight each other.
Florida.
All right, that's weird. I kind of dug just hanging out with my buddies in high school where we just drank and like played laser tag.
Video
and
games
stuff.
And shit. Yeah, I know.
But no, they like to fight each other at the school. Well, you know, meanwhile, Amber Heard and Jake kind of hit it off and she invites him to a party.
Oh, I want to back up because I want to talk about that scene when they introduce each other. So it's in the classroom and Jake's, first day of class?
Yeah.
Way to blend in, by the way, by being the fucking know-it-all from another state. Where's he from, like Iowa or whatever, Ohio?
I don't know where, or Utah or some shit.
And they did that scene where it's like the teacher and he's teaching poetry or, no, what is he teaching? He's teaching the Iliad, Homer, right?
Yeah.
And who can tell me what this means? And Jake, you know, reluctantly provides the answer. And then Amber, what is her character's name? Oh, I know her character's name. I'm going to call her Amber Heard for a second.
Okay, so
Amber Heard.
Because I can't remember what her character's
name
was.
They get into this back and forth afterwards.
I don't remember anybody's character name. Like, I'm so glad Amber you Heard's remembered name? Max. I think his little brother was named Charlie.
All right. See, that's the one I don't remember. I only remember Amber Heard's character's name because it's Baja. Because remember he says, like, Mexico? And she says,
oh, is that?
Like, my parents smoked a lot of pot. Baja.
Oh, wow. Okay, like, I don't remember that at all.
Because they never call her by her name again. She just shows up and everybody looks at her and she starts talking, as hot blonde girls are wont to do.
You think she's hot? Like, honestly?
You know what? When she first appears on screen, I think she looks hotter in Zombieland, which came out after this movie,
That's right. She was in Zombieland.
Just had a quick
just
little part
really
at the beginning.
Bit, yeah.
But I remember thinking, who's the fucking hot blonde at the beginning of Zombieland who turns into a zombie? Spoiler alert. She's a little... I like a girl with a little bit of meat on her.
Which, she's got a little bit of meat on
her. I should
her
say,
in this
Katie,
one.
If you're
but
listening, you do not fit that mold, so please don't go all anorexic on me.
She's really going to listen to this and then start holding it against
Probably
you?
Probably not.
Okay,
no.
Good. I thought weight-wise, I have no problem. I thought she looked really good. It was just...
It's like
what she did with like her...
She's got a weird mouth.
Face.
Yeah.
Like when he first opens the door, like there's one point where she knocks on the door and he opens it up and she's already doing like the pensive like... biting her bottom lip thing, and you're like, slow the fuck down, man. He just opened the door. He's wearing a sleeveless shirt. It's not even like...
Got her all hot.
I know, right?
Got me a little hot.
Okay, so yeah, they meet in the classroom, forced chemistry. There's really no spark between these two people at all.
And the fact that she's using like these big $10,000 words and knows all about Homer and the Iliad, I don't believe for a second Amber Heard knew what the fuck that big word that she uses is, or I can't even remember what it was, I should have written it down, or who Homer was except for a character on The Simpsons before filming this movie or reading the script.
How crazy... okay, wait, we haven't even gotten to this yet, so I can't even bring this point up.
Sorry.
So please, can we please get to the party? He goes to this fucking party, and while he's there, that's when, like, you know, he sees the dude who's like, hosting the party.
Yeah.
Is his name Ryan?
It's Tyler Durden.
Yeah, dude, that's completely what he is. He is Bargain Basement Discount Tyler Durden.
Yes.
Because I've never seen this kid in a movie before, and I haven't seen him in anything
Nor will you.
No. Yeah. And so at one point he's like, all right, man, are you enjoying the party? Blah, blah, blah. Like kind of just talks to him a little bit. And then like at some point he's like, all right, guys, let's do this thing.
Well, no, you know what it is? It's like, oh, so they're walking around this palatial estate and there's hot chicks everywhere. First of all, there's like 500 people at this party.
500 people. They all look like they're fucking 35.
Yeah. But at this high school party, half of them are scantily clad in bikinis. The girls are anyway.
Yeah. Because
people
it's
in the pool, there's no exactly. That's what you do. There's no parental supervision
at
all.
It's landlocked Florida.
So he's given Tyler Durden's given Jake the tour, and like, yeah, this isn't the real Florida though. As a bunch of hot chicks walk by, he's like, let me show you the real Florida. And so like they peer over the balcony onto the beach, and there's like a Fight Club thing going on. And my first thought is like, this guy's more excited about a bunch of dudes like kicking ass
than a bunch of chicks.
A bunch
of nothing.
It's like, man, if I were in high school at that time with all that poon walking around.
What would you have done? Honestly, like, Joel, like, 17-year-old Joel, what would you have done if you were, like, at a high school party and there was all of that walking around?
I would have excused myself to the bathroom. And 15 minutes later, I would have emerged wiping my brow.
No chicks in high school look like the girls that go to this high school.
No. Maybe in Florida. Maybe we need to get schooled.
In Florida.
Florida.
All right. So he sees these people fighting and blah, blah, blah. Eventually, though, this dude's like, all right, let's do it. And they pull out, like, everybody just fucking forms a huge circle.
Uh-huh, cheering them on.
And this dude, he starts taking off his clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, all right, you know, if you want to be the best, you've got to be able to take out the best or whatever.
Little homoerotic.
Yeah, and so Jake's like, I don't want to fucking fight you.
Yeah.
Well, then why the hell did you come on out here?
That's right.
And like, only in movies like this can someone just kind of glance at somebody and the other person, like, completely, like, get the entire meaning. Like, he looks and goes, oh. And he walks over, you know, the dick character walks over to Amber Heard and just, like, sticks his tongue down her throat.
Yep.
And then looks back at Jake and is like, this is awkward.
And the crowd's all like, oh, burn.
Right? And then Jake's like, nah, man, I don't want to do this. I don't want to fight you. And starts, like, walking out. Mm-hmm. And, like, some spare ass, like Ben Affleck's cousin, like Barney Affleck, is like keeping him from getting out of the house.
Yep.
He's like, where do you think you're going? Like, we've already seen this dude, like, tear ass on, like, dudes 20 times bigger than this guy. But this dude's like, where do you think you're going? And, like, to me, that was the funniest thing. I thought that this guy, honestly, they should have had this dude beat this guy's ass just to kind of set up the tension a little bit more. That, yeah, like, oh, wow, this guy's kind of capable, not just on the football field. He can actually kind of whoop a little bit of ass, and now he's about to get goaded into a fight with this other dude.
That's right.
So the guy ends up, like, talking shit about Jake Tyler's dad.
Yeah.
And
But you know what? How did this guy, Ryan is the character's name, the Tyler Durden character.
I keep forgetting. Yeah, Ryan.
How did he find out about the guy, or about Jake's, like, past and his father and all that stuff?
I'm assuming that it was that Max character, that the Max character went and told him about all this shit. Like, reported back to him, like, hey, man, this dude, the dude that tried to break up the fight, he's kind of a badass. I did some homework, and this is his story.
Yeah, but the extent of the homework was looking up clips on YouTube. So, yeah, like, there's the one clip on YouTube of him getting in the fight with the football.
Maybe he found
back
it
home.
Maybe it had his name on it.
All right.
I'm not trying to make excuses, and I'm not trying to defend the movie. I'm just saying, in the realm of what's believable and what isn't in this movie,
yes,
I'm not really focused on this shit.
I just thought it was odd that this guy had like, papers, had, like, a PI following him and knew, like, the whole backstory with his dad. And
how fucking nuts was it that this guy, fucking Jeff, what the hell, man? How fucking nuts was it that this guy, this high school kid, was, like, a fucking Bond villain in this movie?
Yeah.
that he had, like, a chick on his arm, and people are coming up and, like, shaking his hand.
He was a white cat away from being, like, in Goldfinger.
Being the Godfather.
Just hitting, yeah.
it was so ridiculous. Nobody in high school, no matter how much of a dick, nobody acts like this guy does.
Yeah.
So, Jeff.
Or had their shit
sir,
together.
Can you just put a cork
Listen,
in it a little bit?
He's trying to join the million Pokemon game. He's got this is an event. This is history being made.
Okay, so
the
no
podcast is going to hold him back.
So the
I think you can play Jeff.
You go ahead and play your game.
It's fine.
Go
play
ahead.
Your game. We'll talk here. Jeff's had a long day.
We're talking about Never Back Down, Jeff.
We've invaded his home.
Are you saying this isn't the most compelling
All
fucking
All he
discussion?
Wants to do is go to sleep and have a burger. Not in that order.
Oh my God, the burger I just had was amazing.
Yeah, rub it in.
I shouldn't have that, but it was so good.
I had a Lean Cuisine for dinner.
Okay, so he ends up getting he gets goaded into fighting this guy,
right?
The Godfather of Orlando, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
and he gets his ass beat.
Oh, it's awful too. I should mention the fight scenes in this movie are so just like gritty and like seriously, there should be broken bones. There should be concussions. With all the talk going on nowadays about, you know, NFL and high school football and, you know, we need more padding in the helmets and you can't, you know, we're going to start suing the coaches. These guys are fucking bare knuckle boxing and like, you know, taking
not even bare knuckle boxing. They're throwing like UFC style, like
it's MMA. They're
submission
taking
submission style holds,
knees
and shit
to the forehead, and like
he
fucking
gets kicked in the fucking face.
He does like a roundhouse kick from this guy
just once, like two
several
or three
times, and then choked out until he blacks out. That's nice. Yeah, yeah.
And then we get this like awkward. He gets carried home by Max.
Yeah, his new best friend, his bed buddy,
who knows where he lives.
Everybody knows where he lives in this movie.
Knows where his bedroom is in his house.
This guy's been, he just moved here, and everybody's able to find him. Maybe it's Google Maps. Maybe we just grew up in the wrong time. Can you just type in somebody's name and find their address?
I guess so.
I don't think so.
Possibly in Orlando. Maybe.
it's no holds barred in Orlando.
So that's when, like, this Max dude becomes this guy's best friend.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, hey, man, I noticed you didn't come to school today.
I earned his trust.
So what's up, man? What's going on? Tell me about it. And I'd have been like, motherfucker. You and your fucking asshole friends set me up and beat my ass at a party.
That
why are you in my fucking house right now?
I'm calling the cops right now.
Yeah, I'd have taken his fucking video camera and shoved it up his ass. Instead, he's like, "Here's a DVD. This is the guy I train with." I'm like, "Okay, the dude you train with? Last time I saw you, you were getting your ass beat by like two other dudes." Like,
so maybe
I don't know if I want to train with the guy.
I'm not
going
to be working with that guy. No, I just couldn't get past when you look at that whole night. In its entirety, it's the biggest downer, the biggest cock tease, because he gets invited by Amber Heard, by Baja, and so he goes there, you know, looking pimp and thinking he's gonna
Baja
at least
and her two weird friends, like,
yeah.
How weird was it? And I guess I don't know. Like part of it kind of delighted me that she like introduced him to her other friends, and one of her friends is a gay guy.
Yeah, I love that guy.
And she's like, you know, I don't know. He's a little bit too, she says something like, he's a little bit too bony for me. And the guy's like, not for me.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
That's Florida.
The movie, I'd have enjoyed the movie so much more if Jake got together with the gay guy. Like, like if that's what the story was,
sequel.
Was all about like him hooking up with this dude.
It'd be like Brokeback Mountain.
Because it felt like there was some weird latent homosexuality already flying around with this Jake Tyler character.
And all the male characters, they're more shirts off in this movie than there are on.
They were so like... into each other, and like like you felt like they were 2 seconds away from just grudge-fucking one another.
Who are you talking about? Amber Heard?
And, No.
You talking about the dudes?
I'm talking about that Ryan character Jake. Yeah. Like, there was just this weird, like, okay, like, we get it. You guys, like, there's this weird I-want-to-fight-you thing going on. But, I mean, Christ, they were hanging out at some, like, some pool or whatever where you could do some wakeboarding or what. And Jake goes into the bathroom, and fucking this Ryan guy goes into the bathroom.
And what makes that scene even more uncomfortable, and you've been on sets, but I always point this out to people when we're watching, you know, movies or TV, but two people, when they're standing next to each other or closely to each other, you sometimes have to move them real far in to get them both in the frame, like uncomfortably close, like inches away from each other's face. Yeah. And if you saw a still picture of those two on set, you know, take away the cameras and everything else, They look like they're about to make out.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a couple of scenes in there, that one specifically, where in their bathroom, where it's like, it's confrontational, but they look like they could just
start making out. Nobody cared more about fucking Jake Tyler and what he was doing in that movie than that Ryan character.
That's the other thing, too, about the bullies. Like, they're so, like, what's in it for him, ultimately? And
I don't know. He's already embarrassed this guy once in public, once in private. Why is this grudge still existing? Like, why does this still exist for this guy? Why is it so important for him to keep making this dude's life hell?
He's really latched on.
I mean, I know they tried to play up the Rocky aspect of like of the Jake character, where it's like, man, he's got a lot of heart. He took a beating, man. He didn't stay down. He just kept getting back up. All right, that's fine. But, like, you roundhouse kicked him in the face, like, 8 times, and you got it on video. You won. Like, can you not move on to somebody else?
Is there somebody else?
So we've manufactured the drama here in this film, and Jake decides, even though he's told his buddy Max, like, I don't want to go, Jake ends up going to the 365 combat gym, or whatever it's called, that's run by Jaimon Hansu,
that's right.
And he goes, and he's like, I'm a quick learner. This is the advanced class. You need to come back tomorrow, 3 o'clock. He's like, no, man, I could do it. I could do this. All right, fine. You know, and he just starts doing all the workouts that everybody's doing and kind of proves, I guess, that he's a quick learner.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't quite follow what the fuck was going on. I was like, okay, he needs to lift weights, do some, like, chin-ups. How is this the advanced class? Like, what?
It's like the paint the fence of this movie.
But it wasn't.
And no.
I mean, if we're to abort on this whole, like, summarizing the film, which we don't need to do, if I could latch on to what you just said for a second.
Do it.
That's the problem. That's the thing that separates Never Back Down from something like The Karate Kid. And call it cheesy if you want. Call it predictable if you want. But there was something really fun about the paint the fence, wax the floor, wax the car, or sand the floor, wax the car, that, like, as an audience member, realizing at the same time Daniel LaRusso realizes, oh, my God, he's been teaching me the techniques all this time.
Right.
There's that, like, wow. You know, he has been training him. And now that Daniel's learned this, now that he realizes that he's been learning these techniques subconsciously, now we can put those in, we can apply those now and start using it. And that was the fun of The Karate Kid.
Oh, yeah.
There was none of that in this movie.
There was none of that. And more importantly, there was no lesson. Like, above all, okay, this film is beautifully shot and you've got really good cinematography and hot looking people and they're fighting and there's, you know, it's well shot, nice action scenes, whatever.
Yeah.
But this movie's kind of dangerous, the message that it's portraying.
When
you disagree.
When you first said there was no message, I was like, I kind of disagree. But I do agree.
There's a message.
That there is a message,
it's
and
dangerous.
It is a dangerous message.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, where he's like, sometimes doing nothing is you know, also results in bad consequences. And I'm like, okay, so what you're saying is, go fight? Like, go look for a fight. That is the wrong message.
And going back to Karate Kid, the whole thing that Mr. Miyagi was trying to teach him is like, you don't, it's self-defense only. Don't come here for me to teach you how to fight. Know what you need to know to defend yourself when you're in that situation. But more importantly, try not to put yourself in those situations.
Uh-huh.
And you know, throughout the movie and maybe questionably in the sequels, that message plays out. And that's good.
Uh-huh.
That I remember, you know, my mom didn't really want us watching, you know, a lot of violent movies. But she could get on board with that one because of the message and because, you know, there was meaning behind it. It wasn't all just like who can kick whose ass.
Exactly.
But that's what this movie ultimately turns into.
It absolutely is. And you know, they kept pushing this whole point of like, you know, if you fight outside this gym, you're out. Which made me think a skilled screenwriter would have somehow, at the end of the movie, manipulated the bad guy, would have manipulated Ryan to show up at the gym.
I thought that's where they were going to take it.
I thought that's where they were going to take it, too. So that way Jake could, you know, it would have been a little bit of symbolic, a little bit of a symbolic representation of Jake learning to also manipulate, you know, to him, for him to control the situation.
Outsmarting him.
To outsmart the villain, make him come to the gym. And not that, you know, oh, now you're on my turf and I know this, but the fact that he's convinced him to come there.
Yeah.
And now, you know, look, I'm fighting in the gym. This is a safe environment.
Yeah.
We're going to fight here. We're going
to focus our aggressions.
This. Exactly. I thought that would have been at least, I don't know, that would have signified at least a little bit of an arc for the character on an emotional and intellectual level. And there was none of that.
No, ultimately, it's just like, who can kick the other person's ass, who has the better moves, and who's going to get the girl in the end.
Uh-huh.
And so it's kind of depressing.
So when Jake starts taking his karate lessons or whatever, we talked about this a little bit before we got started.
I have something I want to
mention,
too.
How fucking nuts is it? Like, he's having his, like, post-war syndrome thing, post-traumatic stress outbreak. Like, he just freaks out at this intersection. This Hummer comes up behind them, starts fucking honking.
Yeah.
And, like, his dude, buddy, that Max guy is like, dude, chill out, man. Dude's still honking. Jake just gets out of the fucking car. and then, like, these dudes get out of the Hummer and start, like, fronting on him. And I can't stand this. This is something that, to me, it's either weak directing or it's weak script writing. There are some things you don't have to say, especially in a movie like this.
Oh, no.
It's really weak, and it kind of disgusts me a little bit.
What did he say,
but,
Jim?
Like, the dude comes up, and he's like, what's your problem, faggot?
Yes.
And it's like, dude,
they drop the F
unnecessary.
Word.
Unnecessary. That is really fucking unnecessary to throw that into a movie
I guess that. They did that so that when he got his ass kicked 2 seconds later, you wouldn't feel too sympathetic for the guy. Yeah. I still sympathize with him, though.
I still sympathize.
Even if I'm not driving
a
yellow Hummer, like, I've been that person behind the guy who's at the stop sign who's just, like, spaced out and not moving. I would fucking honk at that guy. And if he came at me, I'd get my baseball bat out of the backseat.
It's a horrible trait for our protagonist.
Yes.
To get out of the car and pick a fight
and
with three fucking dudes.
Worse than that, it's not like, oh, he learns a lesson for this is going to, you know, he's going to get arrested and this comes up later.
He
gets
benefits
videotaped
from it.
By his buddy Max, and then the video makes its way around YouTube and he becomes popular and he gets the girl.
Yes.
Like that. He becomes famous. Uh-huh. Just like the other guy does around. So it's like, oh, this is a great message to send to in 2008.
Right?
To Floridians.
I don't know if they were, what they were trying.
I'm just saying.
That one
they're
flew
the ones
right under my radar.
Of all of the 50 states, they do not need this message reinforced.
No.
Maybe Michigan, you know, they're not really, they're more lovers.
No, dude.
They're fishermen.
No, you got Detroit and Michigan. Those people are crazy.
Oh, I forgot
too.
About Detroit. Detroit's almost like Beijing. It's not part of China.
You want to like Salt Lake City. You don't need to put this message in Salt Lake. People in Salt Lake, they don't need to know about this shit.
Not a lot of fisticuffs.
The Mormons, they don't need to start fighting each other. Okay, so
they breed armies.
But yeah, they basically turn this protagonist that we're supposed to sympathize for into a thug. You know, it's almost like if here's okay. I'll put it like this.
Okay.
Suppose Daniel LaRusso trained with Mr. Miyagi
and
learned his skills and stuff, and then after that went to the Halloween party where he was bullied and then like took off and then turned around and like just mercilessly started beating ass on like all three of those guys. It wouldn't have been as effective as still like weak Daniel, still unsure Daniel, you know, getting rescued by Mr. Miyagi. And that's another thing we were missing from this movie.
Yeah.
Like suppose we would still get the feeling that Jake is a broken character if he gets out of the car and starts to kind of instigate, but then these guys start to attack him, and then maybe out of nowhere, Jaimon Hansu comes in and somehow peacefully ends the fight.
Like Mr. Miyagi
like
did
Mr. Miyagi
on the beach.
Does. Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, I know that wouldn't have built up the tension between Jake and Ryan because that was the thing that ended up getting Ryan a little bit more on the, oh, I need to beat this guy's ass again.
Yeah.
You know, that's when they had the fucking confrontation in the bathroom where he's like, so you think you're a badass now, beating up three noobs or some shit, you know, three people that don't even know how to fight. So it falls into my theory that Ryan and Jake were just a couple of guys that had a hard time coming to terms with their sexuality.
That
it was Maverick and Iceman from Top Gun.
Could ride my tail anytime. That and their daddy issues, because we find out later that Ryan, Tyler Durden,
yeah,
his dad's trying to be the cool dad, but will totally call him out in front of his friends.
I'm glad that they did that.
That was the one redeeming part of that character, that he just wasn't this mean bully.
I don't know about redeeming, but I'm glad that they explained that, because it makes you think, like, why is this character such a dick?
Yeah.
Like, there has to be an explanation.
They went way too long before
exactly
explaining that scene, though, because that's well into the third act.
I wish they had introduced that earlier.
Yeah.
Because then you would have created a little bit more of an interesting plot,
well,
that maybe our villain is a little sympathetic, and then we could have had a little bit more of an understanding, and then the payoff at the end would have been... it would have meant more.
Yeah.
Instead of just that weird head nod we get at the end between the two characters.
Well, if you're going to go that route, clearly all of these characters need therapy. Like, let's examine Amber Heard's character. Why is she into these bad boys? It's never resolved. It's
nope.
She goes from dating the bad boy at the beginning of the movie to, at the end of the movie, dating the other bad boy who kicked the other guy's ass. It's like, there's no turn there either. She's as vapid as the male characters are.
How horrible was the scene where she's, like, in his bedroom, and she puts on his fighting gloves?
Yeah, and they're sparring.
And she starts doing her, like, she's like, ha, 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 is this how you do it? And she's got, like, her the gloves on, and she's got her weird stance.
At
and
that
like,
point.
There was nothing cute about what she was doing at all.
Cute's not a word I would use, but that outfit she was wearing. And by the time he tackles her, and then she crawls on top, there's, like, a Michael Bay-like shot. I think Michael Bay's DP may have shot this movie, because the way everyone is shot, it's just like harsh light and, you know, everybody's glistening, like they all get spritzed down.
But it was, I'm not talking about the visual
quality
of that scene.
No, you're right. It's silly.
What's happening there? It's so uncharacteristic of what's going on in the story at this point.
It's the obligatory, you know. I'm surprised it wasn't a full-out sexy.
This is a dude that's known to, like, just flip at the fucking drop of a hat, and she's, like, throwing little punches at him. Like, it would have been...
gonna set him off like a Doberman.
Right? What if something would have gone... Because he's known to, like, something, anything, could make him start thinking about some shit that's going to make him feel bad or feel pissed off.
He would have gone all unbreakable.
He could go all unbreakable on her and just throw a fucking right hook. And
that
would
have been great.
It would have been great.
Well, I mean, it would have been a nice little up. See, you can't... he's still an animal deep down inside.
So that leads to one of the sequences in the movie that I actually kind of enjoyed.
Yeah.
And it's when she, you know, they are she's like, tap out.
Ooh,
tap out. And it's like so not sexy. It's kind of disgusting.
It's really.
And they kiss, and she totally she totally puts tongue into that fucking kiss when she kisses him. And, you know, doing production, like you and I both know, like, you're not actually supposed to, like, fucking make out. You're not really supposed to put your tongue down this person's
throat.
It's
a movie kiss.
Yeah, exactly.
Although, Joe, I'm starting to realize why I watched a lot of porn and you didn't, because you found that scene disgusting and I was oddly turned on. It's just like, yeah, more tongue, Amber Heard. Climb on top and tell him to tap me out. And then he taps her, like, on the ass.
He taps her on the ass.
See that underwear sticking out from under
her. And then that's when fucking Charlie opens the door.
The younger brother comes in.
The younger brother opens the door. He's like,
what's going
on? Mom's on the phone for you. And then he's like, what's going on? She's like, we were just wrestling. And he looks at her and he's like, I like wrestling.
So awkward.
It was a good delivery. That kid had a good delivery.
That
there.
Kid was probably one of the better actors. That kid was better than Amber Heard was.
Yeah, he was absolutely better.
And probably Tyler Durden. Although, I tell you, the best actor in this movie.
Jaimon Hansu.
No.
What?
You think so?
I do, yeah.
I'm going to give it to the kid Max, dude. I love that sidekick character, man.
What else was he in?
He was in Kick-Ass.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
He was a friend in Kick-Ass, and he's done, I think he's done some TV. He's one of those, yeah, I know, he's one of those guys who see him, you're like,
I've seen him
I know that
times.
Guy.
Yeah.
He's great. I think a lesser actor wouldn't have been able to pull off that sidekick without, kind of, like, he kind of had his own character. He made it his own character. I believed him and sympathized with him. a lesser actor wouldn't have been
especially
able to do that.
Especially when he gets his ass beat to within an inch of his life.
I know, later on by Tyler Durden.
What was up with that weird, like, little plot point they tried to throw in where, like, his family didn't show up at the hospital? And Amber Heard's like, I just sat there and I kept waiting because I thought his family might show up. And then I realized they had.
Everybody's got daddy issues.
And I was like, what the fuck is happening?
The script writer must have had some serious daddy issues, too. For all of the male characters in this movie to just be, like, abandoned figures.
They were all abandoned. I can't think of anybody. I can't think of anyone who is well-adjusted in this movie. Maybe that's their social statement, that, like, nobody's well-adjusted.
Wow, you were giving this movie way too much credit if you think it has a social statement beyond bigger tits,
beyond it's cool to kick ass.
Beat your opponents. Like, that's the strongest man will... Only the strong survive. Only the strong survive.
But then at the end, we get some, like... There's the beatdown.
Yeah.
It's a tournament.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
By the way, it's also the subtitle of Never Back Down 2.
The beatdown?
The beatdown.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
Soon to be an episode.
Never Back Down 2, which has none of the characters from the original Never Back Down.
Wow. Do you think it's because they weren't invited back? Or
I think
they all decided it was going to ruin their
careers? It's directed by and stars Black Dynamite's Michael J. White.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, oh, I don't... I have any interest in seeing that.
So, getting back to this one, they have the beatdown at Club Zero.
Yes.
There's like this underground fucking fight tournament that only 17-year-old kids are involved in, apparently.
Again, this is one of those movies where there's no adults.
There's no adults. And so Max gets this text like, hey, man, you know, there's the beatdown Club Zero tomorrow night. And he tells Jake, and Jake's like, what the fuck's the point? We both got our girls. Like, why do we even have to go fight?
Yeah.
And he's like, why don't we sit down and just hang out with these chicks? And Max is like, babes, the only thing better than brawling.
Than brawling, I know. There's a horrible line saved only by that actor. But even so.
So they don't go, or they don't respond to the beatdown thing. And that's when Ryan's like, what's going on? I want to fight this guy. Like, seriously, Ryan spends all of his time alone thinking about Jake.
Well, he's like the blonde kid from Karate Kid from Cobra Kai.
But you know what? Even Sweep the Like Johnny was
like Johnny.
He at the end of the movie was like, dude. Like,
yeah.
When Reese is like, sweep the leg. And Johnny's like, what?
That's a little
extreme. And he's like, sweep the fucking leg, you know.
And he even apologizes to Danielson afterwards. He's like, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry.
So even that, you know, sweep the leg, Johnny's even a little sympathetic. Daniel wins some of that respect at least. And we get to see that evolve over time, over the time of the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to see this tournament start breaking out at a fucking club.
Jesus.
And it's like the guy who MCs the fight, you've seen him in a bunch of like Wayans Brothers comedies and stuff.
Yeah.
He's the guy that plays... if you've ever seen A Haunted House, he plays Damon Wayans' wife's cousin or whatever.
That is a deep cut joke.
Yeah, dude, it's the closest I can fucking
Jeff,
come.
You know who he's talking about, right? The guy from...
And he's like, where's your furniture, cuz? That's the guy.
All right.
And so this dude is... I'm pretty sure this is like his first acting gig because he's fucking horrible.
Yeah.
And he's on the mic.
I thought it was like an MTV DJ that won a contest.
The extent of his calling the fight is, oh, man, Jake Tyler with the right hook. Oh. Oh.
That's exactly what it is.
Oh, man. Like, really? I don't need to hear this. You could have just shown me the movie. It's a visual medium. I'm watching it happen. So there's this tournament going on, and it's like 34 fighters.
And it plays out like a Street Fighter. Like, there's different characters. One dude has a mohawk.
Yeah.
There's the Asian guy. Like, all the stereotypes.
There's the one guy who does all the capoeira.
That's right.
And he's, like, dancing around and shit and, like, does all this shit. And then Ryan just comes up and just cocks him in the face.
Yep.
And, like, that's it.
Jeff's playing Candy Crush over here.
Oh.
Oh, we found him.
Afion Crockett.
There you go.
Is that how you pronounce his name?
Sure.
Afion? Or is that an L? Afflon?
No.
Affleck?
Speaking of actors' names we can't pronounce,
Jaimon Hansu.
So you liked his character.
I did.
You liked his acting ability?
I like Jaimon Hansu.
Okay.
I just like him. I don't think that he's an award-winning actor. I don't think he ever deserves a nomination.
He was nominated, though, wasn't he?
For
Amistad?
Yes, he sure was. Yeah. I don't think he deserves it.
That's what they do.
But because he's pretty much, once you've seen him in one role, that's every role he plays.
He's like the guy who was nominated this year for Captain Phillips.
That's why lot of people get nominated for that first film.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, oh, my God, that person's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize, oh, that's all they do.
Precious.
That's kind of.
And Jennifer Hudson.
I would even throw Christoph Waltz on there, even though I like.
Whoa.
Let me finish.
That's fighting words,
Joe. Though I like Christoph Waltz,
mm-hmm.
his characters are all pretty much the same.
Yes.
He's a good performer.
Yes.
He really gives it. But I challenge you to show me two characters that he's done that have been drastically different.
I'll give you that. He's kind of pulling a Kelsey Grammer. He's
yeah.
playing himself. But he can play evil that you hate, that you're rooting against, as he did in Inglourious Bastards.
Oh, he was Hans Gruber style bad in Inglourious Bastards. It was great.
But then in
Django.
Django Unchained, you're rooting for him. He still kind of has that same...
But he's the same character.
He's the same character.
The same delivery.
But in one movie, you hate him, and in one, you love him. Uh-huh. So it's like...
But there's the context.
To be able to do that.
There's also the context. The first scene in Inglourious Bastards, he basically convinces somebody to rat out a bunch of Jews hiding under the floor.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Inglourious Bastards, the first scene you see him in, he kills a couple of racist slave owners.
Also true. But he's he's so kind, though. Like, you know, he has those moments with, we're talking about the other movie now.
Yeah, it's okay.
He's so kind, even his eyes and his performance, but so hateful in Inglourious Bastards. I don't know. I don't think you're giving him
so
much credit.
So I think Jaimon Hansu.
All right.
I think it kind of falls along that same thing, where we get to see the same performance from him. It's just different time frames, different stories, but I still enjoy what he does.
Well,
and that's what I'm saying about also about Christoph Waltz, the same thing with Jaimon Hansu.
I hear you.
I enjoy their work. I don't think they have a lot of range, but I enjoy what they do.
Well, maybe it's unfair to blame him as an actor, and maybe the problem...
You've got your iPad, so I know you're about to give me a...
Well, I just needed to reference something. The larger problem I had was with the role, because clearly he was supposed to be the Mr. Miyagi of this film.
Uh-huh.
I should point out, in that first training scene, you know, where I already forgot the guy's name, Jake. Jake shows up and he wants to be trained. And
yeah.
He's like, all right, you know, do the exercises and then we'll spar. By the way, 34 minutes in, that's when we get the title of the movie said.
Yes.
By did you notice that too?
He's like, don't quit, never back down.
Yep, and I'm like,
he's climbing a rope. Who says that while you're climbing a rope? Never back down.
If it's in the script, it's the name of your movie. Although I should say, the name of the movie wasn't originally Never Back Down. You know what it was?
No.
They were going to call it Get Some. This movie was going to be titled Get Some.
Getting back to the porn discussion that we were having.
And that's why they didn't use it, because they thought it was too provocative, too sexy. Wonder why. Anyway.
Describe the relationship between Ryan and Jake.
Get Some.
Get Some.
So they're in that, they're sparring, and he's kind of teaching them how to do it. And he's sparring with that one guy who's kind of like blacking him out, or, you know, choking him out. And so not 90 seconds after he says, never back down,
He then chides him for tapping out.
He's like, you went too far. You shouldn't have tapped out. He's like, you fucking told me never to back down 2 minutes ago, you motherfucker. I'm getting conflicting. See, and that's why the whole Mr. Miyagi
Because Pat Morita, when he played Mr. Miyagi, he committed. You know, and the way the role was written as well, he stuck to a certain set of principles.
Right.
And never backed
never
down.
Backed
from it.
You did it. We did it.
So, okay, getting back to the tournament at the end, there's all these different characters, and, you know, you see Jake and Ryan. In fact, there's one point where they think they're going to fight each other, and they build up all this tension for no reason, because then they're like, oh, it's a typo. You're fighting Taylor, not Tyler.
Okay. That whole end sequence goes on for like 15 minutes.
No, sir, it's a 20-minute
Is it 20
sequence.
Minutes?
It is the longest setup.
We're at
to the climax of this movie,
and we're at the like hour 40 minute mark at this
close
point.
Close to it,
and you're like,
close to it.
When is this movie going to be over?
Exactly.
Okay.
So
glad it wasn't just me.
So they end up, you know, they're fighting. They're both doing pretty well, but Jake ends up getting like his ribs broken or bruised or something in the middle of one of his fights, and so he manages to win that fight. And then Ryan is fighting some other dude, ends up gouging his eyes. My favorite part is like the ref comes out and he's like, "All right, this is a no holds barred match." But no eye gouging, no going for the crotch. No, and I'm like, what? Wait, no, because it's no holds barred. Like, the no holds barred means
no
anything
rules.
Goes. There's no rules. You can't throw that down and then be like, oh, but by the way, you know, you can't do this. So we find out that Ryan eye gouged one of the guys he fought and got disqualified.
Right.
So Jake comes out, man, he's ready to fight. He's ready for the semifinals. He's going to take on this last guy and then hopefully fight Ryan.
Hold on. Is this after the scene where he like goes back to the locker room and like ices his ribs?
Yeah.
Were you expecting like Jaimon Hansu to come in and do
yes!
like the hand clap and like
no,
warm?
No, I wasn't expecting that, but I was expecting like at some point Jaimon Hansu was going to be at Club Zero, that he was going to show up.
Yeah.
I don't know what I want. Well, you know what? No, I do. I wanted to see some kind of we've set this guy up as kind of a badass throughout the whole movie. And when you do that in a flick, you need to pay it off somehow. Kind of like what they did in Karate Kid.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Morita, kind of a Yoda-style character, and I know they showed their hand kind of early in the Karate Kid, but it worked in the context of that movie where Daniel's being chased by the guys, and Pat Morita shows up out of nowhere and fights them all off. okay, that's cool. You've set up that your character is someone not to be fucked with.
Right.
And so I was kind of waiting for that moment for Jaimon Hansu. You're not going to impress me with your character if he's beating ass of the guy he's supposed to train.
Exactly.
And that's all we got to see throughout most of the movie is that he's just kind of beating Jake's ass and teaching him. But it would have been kind of nice to see, like, maybe at one point that – you know, he shows up, he shows that he came to the fight in his own way, showing his support of Jake and what Jake was trying to do.
And not just them sharing a precious moments in a grocery store.
Crying in a grocery store.
Exactly.
But so I would have liked to have seen, instead of Amber Heard come out, I would have liked to have seen instead it be, you know, Jake say, I said I'll be there in a minute, and it'd be Jaimon Hansu.
Yeah.
He's like, look, you're doing great. And remember, you don't have to do this. You know, you fight for you. Don't fight for him.
Yeah.
And, you know, just some kind of thing to remind him.
Because otherwise he comes to that realization himself, and it's not as poignant.
Well, because it's not as poignant. It could have been if we saw the character work harder to earn that knowledge.
Yeah.
But he never does in the course of this movie.
He's kind of an asshole
all throughout.
And he's taking it out on his poor mom. We haven't really talked much about the mom.
No, but let me finish.
Okay, sorry, go for it.
So that he sees that Ryan got disqualified, and as his fight's starting, he just taps on the ground and quits. And he's like, fuck it. If I'm not fighting Ryan, there's really no point to this, which is a good point to this movie. You know, that's all right. Got it. So he starts to go outside. He's chased down by this Ryan character, and they start fucking fighting in the goddamn parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the moment where I thought it would have been kind of cool to see, like, maybe a couple of Ryan's guys try to jump Jake. And that's when Jaimon Hansu comes in.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, again, doesn't have to, like, beat wholesale ass, but just, you know, keep them away, them at bay, you know, just suppress the attack a little bit and be like, nah, it's between those two. And maybe see him like cold cock a guy, and, you know, just take care of that. And so regardless, we see Jake and Ryan, they get in their fight out in the parking lot, and Jake ends up winning this fight. He's about to black out, but then he finds his fucking strength. He never backs down and takes out Ryan, kicks him in the face a few times, punches him. And then they resolve everything. You know, it's like he goes, he kisses Amber Heard, and then it's like we flash to like maybe it's a week later.
Who knows?
I have no idea if it's a week later or if it's like the next semester.
Yeah.
But he's walking through the parking lot, and you see him, and he's like, yeah, what's going on, guys? What's happening? People are walking by him and Max, and like, Max, how you doing? Oh, you're looking good. Thanks, baby.
Yeah.
You know, and Jake's like, oh, man, he's doing all right. Walks over to his car, and as he's walking to his car, sees Ryan getting into his truck. And just like the end of fucking Mean Girls, you know, Ryan looks at him. He looks at Ryan, gives Ryan a nod.
Little head nod.
And Ryan just smiles and gives him a nod back like, oh, we're cool now.
You can ride my tail anytime.
Right? Like, now we're okay? Why is that? How did that happen? Why is that?
Because it wasn't okay the first time Ryan, like, kicked his ass.
Like when Ryan kicked his ass.
Endlessly pursued him.
Yeah. Why is this okay now?
Yeah. No explanation.
No. Again, these are
because we're an hour and 40 minutes into this movie, and it's got to end at some fucking point.
They're characters that resolved issues through no resolution.
Yes. And no message. And again, I really did feel like there was some glorification going on. I'm okay with some I'm not anti-violence, but I'm anti-glorification of it. Ultimately that's my takeaway from this movie. You know, nobody really learns anything. Everybody needs to see a psychiatrist. And nobody outsmarts anybody, like you said. They just they get that extra oomph of energy.
It's Deus Ex Machina. It's just the script said the only reason this happened is because that's what was in the script. But other than that, it's kind of a disgusting display
of
kids beating each other down.
Well, it's a good thing.
So getting back to going to the mom character.
Oh, the only thing I wanted to mention about her was that, like, she's really played up as this adversary. Like, why are you always getting in my way? Why are you always in my shit, mom? She's really like a good mother throughout this entire thing. The fact that she puts up with his shit as much as she does.
I may have missed it in the beginning of the movie. After he got in his fight at the football game, did she like throw down something like, no more fighting? We're moving because of...
I don't think it had anything to do with that, but when they get to Florida, she tells him, you know, because the little kid plays plays tennis, and they do this game. He's good with numbers, apparently, so they do this numbers game, and she has that whole, her Oscar-worthy scene where it's like, you want to play a numbers game? 2, that's the amount of times I had to bail you out of jail. 6, that's the amount of times I had to break up fights. You remember that scene?
Yeah.
So that's the extent of the backstory we get.
Okay.
But it's like, she's raising this hellish kid. One of them's a fucking saint, by the way. Exactly. I would sell the other one for adoption or something. Right?
But she just freaks the fuck out, like, big time when she finds out, like, he's going to a gym.
Yeah.
He's going to a boxing gym.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like you found, like, drugs in his fucking bag. You found pads.
She comes around ultimately.
She loses her shit.
Well, rightfully so, with the background that this kid has.
But isn't it safer that he's going to a gym and doing this?
You know,
instead?
I saw it as, like, that wasn't necessarily an outlet that he was taking. Like, as a protective mother, she just saw it as a gateway. Mm-hmm. Like, he's into fighting again. This is only going to lead to aggression in school. So I saw her point of view.
Okay.
I'm standing up for the mom. I'm just saying, she was really vilified in this movie. And it's, well, like, she's a pretty good mother, really, when you stand back and look at it.
She's all right. But she's a good mother. She's poorly written, though.
Yeah.
And then she has that scene with Jaimon Hansu.
Yeah, where she pays for his next month.
She pays for his next month, and it's a nice, poignant little moment.
I liked it.
And I like that she's like, just make sure he keeps his teeth, because I don't have dental until like
six months.
And he gives her a mouth guard.
Yeah, it was clever.
I kind of would have liked to have seen her hand the mouth guard off to Jake. No, I seriously, like, I would have liked to have seen maybe in the midst of a montage or something like that to see that, because we never, other than the scene where he goes and watches Charlie play tennis, we never really get a decent enough resolution between those two characters.
That's true. And by her passing that off to him, it would have been a sign that she
trusts him to
see Jaimon Hansu, came to terms with it, and is sanctioning somewhat
His actions. Or just that we see that there's trust.
Yeah.
There's trust established between these two characters.
I like that.
And yeah, but that didn't
It's not
happen.
This movie, unfortunately.
No.
Gotta show more TNA.
How did this thing perform at the box office?
Well, Joe, I'm glad you asked that.
I'm
sad to say it did pretty good. Or at least made its money back.
Did it come out?
It came out in 2008, actually March 4th of 2008, so another March release
there
here.
There you go.
So not a lot going on. So maybe that explains its a semi-success at the box office. But it was made for $25 million and ended up making $40.
I can't imagine this being an expensive film to make, you know, so $25 million seems about right for it.
Yeah, a lot of extras,
There's a lot of location shoots, and I'll tell you what, I think the most expensive thing, I was about to say, the most expensive thing probably with this movie was the equipment.
Yeah, the cinematography.
It had to have been the cinematography.
It's the camera is ever moving. There's always a dolly or a jib shot going on.
Yeah.
It's lit beautifully. There's some great cinematography
very
going on
rare
here.
When the camera, you feel like the camera's been locked down and just set in, you know, we're
oh,
just
yeah.
going to do
Never.
Something.
Never. I don't think it ever does.
Mm-mm.
Well, maybe. So, yeah, but... even though it did okay at the box office, I'm a little heartened to see on Rotten Tomatoes that it has a 22% with critics and a 34% with audiences.
Wow.
You would think a movie like this, like the teenagers would rack up that rating, but even the audiences are down to 34%.
The kids don't really get on the Rotten Tomatoes.
You don't think so?
I don't think a lot of kids get on the Rotten Tomatoes.
I don't think fathers and mothers and adults past 50 are getting on Rotten Tomatoes.
I think people our age are going on to Rotten Tomatoes. People like you and I are going, and this movie does not play to you and I.
Yeah, but you say that. I grew up with a lot of guys I went to high school with who would totally dig this movie now.
Yeah.
They like the Fast and the Furious movies.
And those same kind of guys are not going to Rotten Tomatoes to write movie reviews.
That's true.
Yeah.
They may not even have Netflix.
Fast and
I like Furious. How I'm judging all other people who like this movie.
Did you see that? This is totally unrelated. Did you see the trailer for that new Need for Speed movie?
I heard about it.
With Jesse Pinkman from Breaking Bad.
I heard about it because they're trying, like, this is their Fast and Furious, right?
Yeah.
Now that Paul Walker's gone.
The trailer looks pretty good.
Oh, no.
As far as just a racing action flick goes, it looks like it's going to be all right.
Have you seen Rush?
The one with Jennifer Jason Leigh and the heroin addict?
No, the one that just came out with
Thor. Oh, the Ron Howard flick.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one.
All right,
well. I was like, what a weird movie for you to bring up right now. Would you know my name?
Have you seen Dr. Strangelove? Yeah. How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the bomb? Oh, nice pull. So audiences didn't like it. Made a little bit of money.
And neither did
enough
I.
to warrant a sequel. Although a straight-to-DVD sequel,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, with Michael Jai White, which is also on Netflix.
Oh, well, there you
go. If you felt like checking it out.
Yeah, you know, please don't make me watch that movie. There's only so many of these I can take.
You don't want to see Never Back Down 2, eh?
Again, I will watch a pretty dumb movie, but this one I just feel like is wrong. It's evil, and I don't think anybody should be watching it. All the people who watch this movie, I would love for them to watch Idiocracy instead. The message, first of all, much
this
funnier
is the
film.
The film version of Ow My Balls.
Oh my God, it really is. Back off, Baton.
Go away. all right, so...
Can I ask you?
Oh, please go ahead
Joe,
and ask me.
What do you think this movie did right?
What I think this movie did right, we've touched on it a few times. The cinematography was really well done.
Nice.
It's almost like that's what the movie hinged on was the cinematography. Because if this was, let's say, like Kevin Smith shot this thing, it would have been a complete mess. Yeah. It would have been horrible. It would have been just a bore to sit through. At least we had a well-paced flow to the scenes. Mm-hmm. Scenes, even with just people delivering dialogue back and forth. It's kind of one of the things I loved about, and I might be in a minority here, one of the things I really loved about the Speed Racer movie.
Oh, no.
Was that even though people are just sitting there talking to each other, the scenes moved. There was this amazing sense of motion.
Kinetic energy going
and
through.
That was kind of, there was a little bit of that going on in this movie.
Yeah, so I'll give you that.
I liked that. And again, I really dug the very sincere performance that came from the kid that played Charlie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the little brother who has like five scenes.
Yeah. I enjoyed him.
All right.
Every time I saw him, I was like, all right, okay. I kind of dig what this kid is doing. You know, it could have been a saccharine sweet little boy. It could have been a Jake Lloyd, for God's sake.
Oh,
and it wasn't.
Christ.
You know, they managed to at least cast a decent little kid actor to play this role.
Well, that's fair because my favorite part of the movie was the sidekick kid, Max.
There you
who,
go.
You can see him in better movies like Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
Well, what did this movie do wrong? See how the tables are being turned?
What this movie did wrong was try to present itself as anything but an hour and a half of dude bro videos of people fucking backyard wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, that's all this movie really was. It was like watching an hour and a half of Kimbo Slice when he used to do his amateur fighting videos.
Right, yeah.
There's no redeeming quality at all to the script. There's no redeeming quality to the plot, to the story. None of these characters have a significant arc. There's no knowledge gained, no knowledge earned, nothing, no wisdom imparted upon anybody. Even the wise character, the Jaimon Hansu character, has unresolved, like crazy unresolved issues that don't really get resolved within the course of the story, and they try to leave you with a sense that he has resolved shit, but no, nobody's resolved anything.
Yeah.
And it kind of just leaves you in a, wow, all right, so same time next week, huh? So we're going to this could all just happen again when some new kid moves into town and Amber Heard wants to start dating them instead of Jake Tyler.
Well, if I know Florida, that's never going
to
happen.
And I kind of want to see that. I want to see the, you know, live long enough to see yourself become a villain thing with Jake Tyler.
Well, I kept thinking about that too, if they did a sequel, but with these characters and show them like as deadbeat, you know, Amber Heard and Jake get together, but they hate each other in the future and they have an illegitimate child.
You know what? I hate to completely stop your flow on
no,
that.
No, I have no flow.
I just had this thought, and I think this is the greatest offense that this movie committed. Hmm. It's that we tried to set up this very tragic backstory to this character. This whole, like, you know, I was in the car. My father, you know, he was driving drunk, and he wrapped the truck around a tree, and he ended up dying.
Right.
And I could have stopped it. And the thing was, we heard him give that speech three times. We also got to see the same sequence of flashback footage. But we never, ever got any significant information. We never got to get a real sense of the relationship that he had with his father. Mm-hmm. The only thing that you know about his father, informed from the movie, informed by the characters, is he drove drunk and died.
He was an alcoholic.
And I think it was my fault.
Yeah.
That's all we got. We never got anything about, hey, remember when Dad did this? Remember when I did this with Dad? Remember, build up that character. Give us a sense that you actually really miss that character, that you appreciate that character. Or even if you don't miss it and you're angry at him, and maybe that anger stems from the fact that you love him so much and you're mad at yourself that he's gone. Mm-hmm. Play with that. Give us that. Play with those character levels. You know, you have all kinds of opportunities because there's nobody in the world that loves a Rocky movie like I do.
Oh, yeah.
Get into that whole, like, the underdog.
Oh, sure.
Somebody, a broken character.
Overcoming obstacles.
Overcoming personal tragedy.
Redemption.
There's nothing I want more than to really back a movie like that. And this movie could have had that.
Yeah.
And instead, it was a really poor use of that motivation of my father died.
They ultimately don't overcome their obstacles. None of the characters do in this movie.
No.
It's a failure on all parts.
All right.
Well, that's too bad. Well, it sounds like this movie needs to be remade then. So, Joe, how do you recast this movie?
Man, okay. So if I'm going to recast this movie, I have to go immediately to who would I cast to be the sensei of the gym. I really feel like it's all going to hinge on who is this guy that we're going to have be this, like, you know, this badass, the teacher. And I think it's very important to juxtapose power with stature. And I feel like That's the, what they did right with Mr. Miyagi in The Karate Kid.
Not.
That's what they did right with Yoda in The Empire Strikes Back. That you take this character who's, you know, diminutive but possesses some kind of strength.
Judge him by his size, not.
Oh my God! Don't ever quote Yoda. Don't ever speak like
in
Yoda.
Backward syntax.
Ever again.
Okay.
All right. So, I think that for the sensei character, I would love to see a really like laid back Gary Oldman.
Ooh.
You know, because I think he's got the chops. And
he definitely has the chops.
Well, but I mean, to play a role like this, I think in some ways it's like beyond Gary Oldman to play. But, you know, why not? It's our movie to cast. But, you know, I want to take a Gary Oldman kind of like, you know, this broken old man. I know he could play anything still at this point. He's still young enough to play like kind of more of a badass character.
Oh, yeah. He played a midget in a movie a couple years ago.
Oh, my God.
Did you see that? Tiptoes.
Oh, my God. It was so bad with Oscar award winner Matthew McConaughey.
That's going to be another future episode right there. I'm adding that to the list.
But I would love to see, you know, I would love to see Gary Oldman as this, you know, a very calm, very zen, but, you know, just this older dude. Maybe like former SAS. Isn't that what that was? SAS?
SAS?
Isn't that the military, the British military?
Oh, man, you got me.
Or whatever.
We'll Google that. Somebody put it in the comments on the Facebook page.
Please do. Because right now I'm fucking tired of shit.
I'm sorry.
So I think Gary Oldman for that. When we get to our main character, Jake, I really don't know because I kind of kept going back and forth on this. Who do I want to see play this role? You know, with this movie, they took an unknown. And I feel like this is definitely one of those movies, one of those vehicles that like, oh, you get an unknown person to come in and play the role.
Right.
If I have to pick somebody, I guess maybe I'd go JGL because he's got kind of that young look. But I think he might be a little too old to play the role.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. So that one's kind of a tough one.
That is a tough one.
But just because I have to pick somebody, I'd go with JGL for it.
That's Joseph Gordon-Levitt for the uninitiated.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Or Jogolev.
Yes.
As I refer to him.
My
man crush.
And then the part of his buddy Max.
Yeah.
I'd bring back the Sixth Sense kid.
Oh, Haley Joel Osment.
Haley Joel Osment. I'd bring Haley Joel Osment in.
He's about the right age,
because
probably.
We haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah.
And he's probably, yeah, exactly.
He's on the scene
again. He's about that age. Is he?
He's
oh, that's
doing
right,
because
he's doing that
the
series,
show.
Too,
yeah.
That show. And then for the dickheaded kid, I'd probably go with, God, have you ever seen that show, The Middle?
Oh, this is going to be a deep cut, yeah.
It's
the kids.
He plays the older brother.
Oh, okay. I can see
I don't
that.
Know what his name is.
I don't know what his name is either.
But yeah, but I'd probably go with him.
All right.
Because it's about that time for him to branch out into movies.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I should have figured out what his name was.
Oh, it's okay. We'll
but
it
there
up.
You go. That's my cast. The Amber Heard character. I'd probably just cast Amber Heard in it again. She's not doing anything.
That's true. Yeah. As long as she keep that weight off, right?
This is a really lazy recasting because I didn't think about
well,
it before.
No, but here's the thing. You've illustrated the issue that I had with. This is a really hard one to recast. A, because it was, you know, released in 2008. And two, because it's so cartoonish.
Yeah.
And over the top and kind of bland. And like you said, the lead role, you would have to find somebody who can physically do this stuff, but also kind of act and play this part. Debatable as to whether they found somebody who could do that for this movie.
Right.
So I did something unorthodox. I've never done this before with a recasting a movie. I'm turning this into an animated movie because it's so cartoony. God because
damn.
I can't find anybody who looks but can also act, but I can certainly find those archetypes.
Okay.
So if you start off with Jake, God damn it, I chose Joseph Gordon-Levitt as well.
Did you really?
But to do the voice of Jake, because he's got, you know, he does that Looper voice where it's kind of gruff, you know.
Uh-huh. It's cool.
And so I'm picturing this as like not a computer animated, like, you know, Disney movie.
You're talking
this
like
is like
2D
an
animation.
Anime, you know, Street
like
Fighter 2.
Eight Crazy Nights.
Akira Kurosawa, but Miyazaki.
Miyazaki.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that type of animation. Because
this is
then,
so not the kind of film Miyazaki would make.
No, absolutely not. Anti-violence generally is his. Although controversy with the new film.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
Heard about that? The Wind
yeah.
Rises?
I haven't seen it yet. But
my brother
really
saw it the other day. He was telling me about it.
God,
he
love
said
his
it was
work.
Awesome.
I love Miyazaki.
I haven't
work.
Seen a movie of his I didn't like. And even the ones I like the least, I still like better than most.
Like Spirited Away, I wasn't a huge fan of.
Me neither. And that's the one that everybody was like, oh, fucking Spirited Away is his best movie.
I loved Mononoke.
Mononoke's great. And I love Howl's Moving Castle.
Yeah, Howl's Moving Castle's really good.
Solid, solid movie. Okay, so picture that type of animation.
Okay.
Because where you can really go over the top with the violence and the cartoony nature of the characters themselves, because they're all cliches.
Yes.
So if you do that, for the voice of Baja, the Amber Heard character, I'm going to go Jory Lauren Adams. From Chasing Amy.
Oh my God.
Because you need somebody who's kind of like ditzy and sounds like
but
a dumb blonde.
She sounds like she's 12.
Exactly. Well, that's what I'm going for. I'm going Japan anime. I'm going extremes here. So Joey Lauren Adams, she kind of sounds like Jennifer Tilly. She's got an annoying voice.
Uh-huh.
I think she's actually done voice work before.
Yeah, I think you're
so
right.
So she'd be perfect for this.
I think you're right.
For the best friend character, Max, mm-hmm. I'm going to go Michael Cera.
Okay.
Our own Scotty Pilgrim.
Okay.
Because he can be understated. He can make it comedic, but he can also you can also picture him him getting his ass kicked later on in those scenes. For the I struggled with the villain because again, who do you find who doesn't come off as they're just doing a Brad Pitt impersonation? Who can kind of have that gravitas, but he's supposed to be a high school student. So one of the reasons
his
I went
voice, he's got to do it all vocally.
Exactly. So I went animated so that I could cast Robert Downey Jr. as the voice of Ryan, but he can still be a kick-ass, you know, teenager in the animated
Tom
version.
Sizemore.
And then finally, oh my God! But he's been smoking for too many years to do voice acting and not sound like an octogenarian.
Be even better. God, if I'd known, you know, that's good. I like that you thought outside the box on this.
Well, you had to because again, how do you recast this movie? And then finally, Jean Roku is that the name of the character's name? The Jaimon Hunsu character.
Jaimon Hunsu. That's
Well,
Jaimon Hunsu.
Difficult to find somebody who has that kind of African accent, who sounds black. You don't want somebody going in there and doing like blackface voice, black voice.
Black voice.
And since he was kind of, you know, we talked earlier about the. His big role was in Steven Spielberg's Amistad, and then he's kind of, you know, done these smaller things. So he started off strong. This year, with Captain Phillips, the lead Somali pilot, pirate, played by Barkhad Abdi, I think is how you pronounce him. If you watch the Oscars these past couple of weeks, he's the guy with the teeth.
Yeah.
And he's in the trailers, and he says,
the guy with the teeth.
Look at me. Look at me.
I am the captain.
I am the captain now. Only in America. No, he said maybe in America.
I like your impressions, man. You really need
to
do more.
I'm doing
of those.
Black voice. That's the problem. That's why I'm not.
You should cast yourself.
Ooh, and oh yeah, scratch that. I am now the voice of Jaimon Hunsu. No, but you know he's got the authentic African accent.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have to see those teeth.
Well done. Well
sorry,
done.
Sorry, Barkhad Abdi.
That was
Godspeed.
That's good. No, I'm gonna go with your casting because you obviously came prepared for this.
Well,
one.
Let's make it. Animated.
I did not. But I'm glad we both went JGL on that.
Yeah, man, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, he can do no wrong.
Would you recommend this movie to anybody?
No, I can't. In fact, I abhor people not to see it. I please, this shouldn't be seen by anybody. Don't show this to your kids. If you watch your kid, if you catch your kid watching this movie or sharing it with his friends,
if you value your child,
if you
in
value
any, way.
Any relationship, or he already has daddy issues, you don't want to foster, get him therapy. Tell him the dangers and fucking show him Karate Kid. Show him a superior movie.
And we're talking about the original Karate Kid, not the one with Will Smith.
No, although I would even watch that one before this one.
God, that one is rough.
But at least the message is there.
God, that one is rough.
Still got the message.
I guess.
Little Willie. What's his name? Little Willie Smith.
Little Willie Smith. That's what you know. What instead of Jaden, we'll just call him Little Willie Smith.
Hey, Willie.
It's Little Willie Smith. All right, so. That I think that's it.
That wraps it up.
I don't know if we have anything else that we want to say about this movie. I don't think there's anything else that can be said.
Not
about
this movie, but there are things we can talk about.
Well,
Joe.
We can talk about the live event coming up in April 11th at the Cox Building Playhouse in Plano.
It's a Friday.
It's going to be a Friday night. $5 to get in. We are going to be doing a movie and a podcast. We're watching the Dolph Lundgren classic Masters of the Universe.
Yeah.
All about He-Man and his fight with Skeletor. We're going to have some cool stuff out there. We're going to have some T-shirts. We're going to have some prizes, some goodies. I'm going to have some plastic swords for everybody. So that way when He-Man pulls his sword out of the stone and it does his...
I have the power!
You guys could do it along with him.
Just like we did.
Uh-huh. And so, again, it's $5 to get in for that. We're going to have some snacks. We'll have some booze out there. And we want to thank our friends at the Duncanville Bookstore.
Yes.
They're sponsoring this thing with us.
Thanks, guys.
They are located at 101 West Camp Wisdom, Suite J in Duncanville, Texas. They sell comics, toys, board games. They also buy comics, toys, and various other pop culture memorabilia. All you have to do, if you want to haul some stuff down there that maybe you've had sitting in the attic or in the garage, you can give them a call, 972-298-7546, and say, hey, I got this fucking Dukes of Hazzard lunchbox. How much you going to give me for it?
He will rip it from your hands, throw it away, and you owe him $2.
Exactly, for his time.
For bringing it in.
Just go on in there, talk to Andy, talk to Brian. They're good guys. And you can find them on Facebook as well through our Facebook page. And also, we've got our websites. Our website should be up
it's
by
up.
Now.
It's up, man.
By the time this thing comes out.
Check it out.
You can go check it out at editingbay.com.
Editingbay.com. Not the Editing Bay, not Edit Bay. Editingbay.com.
Mm-hmm.
www.
And it'll have all the information that I just went through about the live event.
Yeah.
And it's going to be so fun, guys. I really would love to see you out there.
$5. What? Where else can you get this kind of entertainment? Live entertainment and a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And booze. Like I said, we're going to have booze there. So
oh, yeah. We're going to have
drunk.
Some guests. Some
front
of
load like I do. It's going to be a 3-hour event. So get drunk early. By the time it's over, you'll be sober enough to drive home.
Yeah. Well, by the time it's over, you'll be sober enough to not be obnoxious while we're recording the podcast.
Yes, please.
And we're going to be looking forward some comments and questions from you in the audience.
Yeah, we'll have a mic there
while we record the podcast. Is there anything else? I don't want to forget anything.
Yeah, website, live event,
website,
editingbay.com.
And then if there's anything that if you have any thoughts, if you've watched Never Back Down,
yeah,
you can go ahead and give us your comments.
Or if you have suggestions for movies that would be episodes in the future, go ahead and drop
and
it in
Joel
the comments section.
Joel loves your suggestions.
Guys, I got a list of like 45 movies.
He wants to please you so fucking badly.
I already have 2014.
Whenever you comment on our Facebook page, it's Joel that responds to you.
Don't
not
fucking
me.
Wow, way to lift the curtain, wizard. Jesus, pay no attention to that Joe behind the
camera. Does it not show like which one of us is actually responding?
No, because I'll respond
as
the edit day sometimes.
I see it and it says
you know what I'll do?
As Joel, like or that Joel Burnson.
Sometimes if I like something somebody says, I'll like it as editing bait, and then I'll like
it
again as Joel.
I know, I've seen it.
Double likes for you, Brian Hodges.
So yes, go ahead and send your comments, your questions, your suggestions. Right there on our Facebook page. We would love to hear from you there. We should probably set up an email address for stuff like that, too.
Nah, fuck them.
Yeah, fuck it. all right, well, I want to thank you for listening, and I want to thank you, Jeff Earnshaw.
Yay, Jeff.
For producing us, recording us
putting
every
your candy
week,
crush down for putting, 5 seconds.
playing your video games. And seriously, having the patience and letting us into your kitchen, studio.
Right. He doesn't get paid for this, folks. We're in his home.
We really appreciate you. All right, so I have no idea what we're going to watch next week, but we'll figure it out. I want to thank you again for listening. And for Joel, I am Joe. This is the Editing Bay. And we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Next Wave Radio Network.
That's fucking gold.